Okay, so after our discussion of sections 1 through 3 of Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics, we now pick up in section 4. Right before this, he says, "These remarks about the student, the sort of treatment to be expected, and the purpose of the inquiry may be taken as our preface." So we can think of what we just did as a preface to what is happening now, which is where the real inquiry begins. And so, as before, with this being an audio file, I will suggest that when I ask a question about how you should think about something, that you probably should pause the audio and actually think about it before you continue the audio and get my answer or response. So, at the beginning of section 4, we have Aristotle saying we're resuming our inquiry, and we're thinking about this goal stuff that we talked about way back up in section 1. And he says, we recognize that these pursuits, right? There are these pursuits, and all knowledge in every pursuit aims at some sort of good, and political science aims at the highest of all goods achievable by action. Now, good, right? Good is this question. What is this good? We talked about this with Plato. Plato thinks it's this form. Aristotle obviously thinks it's not, because there are none of those form things. So what is it instead? Well, he says, okay, right at the beginning, verbally, everybody seems to agree, both the general run of men and people of superior refinement, all of us, uncouth rabble, along with those more refined people, all seem to agree that the good is happiness, and they identify living well and doing well with being happy. So right off the bat, we have this kind of off-the-cuff answer to the big, big, big question, what is the good? Well, it's happiness. There's this general agreement that it's happiness. Happiness, well, that sounds reasonable, perhaps. And matter of fact, everyone seems to agree that happiness is this thing that everyone goes for, that everyone is on about. And in fact, when we're thinking about the original claim, the original kind of progression that he was talking about back there in section 2, recall, he's talking about, he's talking about how there are these things that we do or desire for their own sake, right? And then there are some things that we do for just the sake of something else. Talks about the chief and main good. And then he talks about subordinate goods. Remember that discussion last time? Well, if we get this answer, this off-the-cuff answer, this verbal agreement that it's happiness, let me just think about that for a second. So, you know, you're taking this class, and you are probably in pursuit of some goal. You have some goal in mind by putting the effort in to take this class. You put the effort in, you do the homework, you do the readings, you listen to the lectures or go to lectures or whatever, and your goal for that is probably something like getting a good grade in the class, right? But it's not like that is the ultimate goal, right? I mean, it'd be pretty sad if your ultimate life ambition was just to get a good grade in this class. That would be pretty sad. I mean, you know, I think the class is important and all, but it'd be really sad if that was your main goal in life. No, you're doing that because you want to use that achievement to then further you on your way towards some other goal, like getting your degree. But even that's not your ultimate goal, right? You're doing that to further your way towards some other goal, like, I don't know, getting a better job, and then you can continue. Well, why do you want a better job? Well, because you get more money with a better job or something like that. Why do you want more money? Well, because you can buy more stuff with more money. Well, why do you want more stuff? Well, because, why do I want more stuff? Why do I want the nicer house and the nicer car and the vacations and the better food and the nicer clothes? Why do I want those? Well, I at least I feel like those things might make me happy. Or at least happier. But why do I want to be happy? What is the goal that I have in mind when I'm thinking of being happy? Do I want to be happy because of some further goal? Or do I want to be happy because, well, I want to be happy because I'm happy when I'm happy, right? I mean, that sort of seems to be the goal. So here's why it seems that there's this general agreement, as he says, that it is this general verbal agreement that it is happiness. So there is the general agreement that happiness is the good. What is the good? Happiness. But with regard to what happiness is, now people disagree. Now there's disagreement and difference. And the many, we uncouth rabble, do not give the same account as the wise. Okay, so now we have to think about what these different understandings are. The former, that is, we uncouth rabble, think it is some plain and obvious thing like pleasure, wealth, or honor. They differ, however, from one another, and often even the same man identifies it with different things. Health when he's ill, wealth when he's poor. But conscious of their ignorance, they, we uncouth rabble, admire those who proclaim some great ideal that is above their comprehension. Now some thought that apart from these many goods, there's another which is self-subsistent and causes the goodness of all these as well. To examine all the options that have been held were perhaps somewhat fruitless, enough to examine those that are most prevalent or that seem to be arguable. But we have to recognize, okay, so we want to understand. We've got a few possible candidates here. Happiness. What is that? Well, there are some tries, some attempts at this. It's pleasure. Happiness is wealth. Happiness is honor. Sometimes we even think it's different things. Maybe when we're sick, we think happiness is health. When we're poor, we think happiness is wealth, etc. But we still have to examine these different options. But we have to recognize that there is a difference between arguments from and those two first principles. For Plato, even Plato, who I disagree with, Aristotle says, who I disagree with so much, was right in raising this question and asking, as he used to do, are we on the way from or to the first principle? So, presumably we should begin with the things that we know. So, anyone who is to listen intelligently to lectures about what is noble and just, and generally about the subjects of political science, must have been brought up in good habits. For the fact is the starting point. And if this is sufficiently plain to him, he will not at the start need the reason as well. So, the starting point. So, we have to get back to this question. Right, we have to start to think about these different candidates, these different answers that different people have given to the question, what is happiness? What is the good? Well, we all agree it's happiness, but what we disagree about is what happiness is. So let us resume our discussion. To judge from the lives that men lead, most men, and men of the most vulgar type, seem, not without some ground, to identify the good or happiness with pleasure, which is the reason they love the life of enjoyment. For there are, we may say, three prominent types of life. That just mentioned, the political, and thirdly, the contemplative life. Now the mass of mankind are evidently quite slavish in their tastes, preferring a life suitable to beasts. But they get some ground for their view from the fact that many of those in high places share the tastes of Sardanapalus. So take a second here and think about what he's saying here. What exactly does this mean? He's talking about the most vulgar type of people, probably most of us. And we, uncouth rabble, to use the phrase again, we seem to identify the good or happiness with pleasure. Now, this seems to be problematic for Aristotle. So why? Why do you think so? Well, if we look at what he says here, thinking that, thinking that it's pleasure, means that we are evidently quite slavish in our tastes, preferring the life of beasts. That doesn't sound like Aristotle's a big fan of equating happiness with pleasure. And he even says that, you know, we have some sort of justification for thinking the way we do about pleasure, about happiness, because we can recognize that people in high places, right, people in positions of power seem to do that, just like Sardanapalus. And if you have any sort of recognition of who that is, maybe not, but I mean, you could look it up. But Sardanapalus was sort of like an archetypal glutton, you know, somebody who lived a lavish life and complete self-indulgence and excess, and is sort of the Greek. Everybody reading the Greek from Aristotle would recognize Sardanapalus as kind of the archetype of excess and self-indulgence, and these very powerful figure, very rich, very wealthy figure. And so we regular folks kind of idolize that. You know, we look at people who live excessive lives, and we think, ooh, yeah, that looks good. We want some of that. And so our understanding or belief that happiness is pleasure is somewhat justified, but really it boils down to a beastly life, and we don't want a beastly life. We want a human life. So happiness being pleasure is maybe not the best answer of those candidates. So then he goes on to say, okay, well, if we see not we regular folks, but if we see the people of superior refinement and of active disposition, well, we recognize that they identify happiness with honor, because honor is, roughly speaking, the end of the political life. But then he says that that's probably not what we're looking for as an answer to our question either. So, again, take a second, pause, and think about why. Why does Aristotle say? What are the reasons Aristotle gives for saying that honor is not the proper answer to our question, what is happiness? Well, he says it's too superficial for what we're looking for, and the reason is that honor depends on those who bestow rather than on him who receives it. But the good we divine to be something proper to a man and not easily taken from him. So think about the nature of honor for a second. What he's saying is the good, if we're going to say it's happiness or whatever, the good has got to be something in you, due to you, right? But honor is not something you do yourself. Honor is something that is due to other people. Right, you are honored by others, right? That's what you want. You want to be honored by others. Whether you are honored or not doesn't depend on you. It depends on whether others have honored you. So that doesn't seem like the proper answer to this question, because the good, as he says, is something proper, something that you have. Also, he says further, we seem to pursue honor in order that we may be assured of our goodness. At least it is by men of practical wisdom that they seek to be honored and among those who know them and on their ground of their virtue. Clearly then, according to them, at any rate, virtue is better, and perhaps one might even suppose it to be, rather than honor the end of political life. So that's another possibility here, but wait, we're going to get to that in a second. Honor is something that is due to other folks. You are honored by others, and your honor, your being honored by others is an indication that you're good. But if honor is the good, then honor can't be an indication that you're good. Honor would be the good. right? So if honor, if people honoring you is something that they do in order to show that you're good, or you are honored because you're good, well, then that means you must be good first, and then the honor comes, right? You are good first, and then people honor you because you're good. But if honor was the good itself, if honor was equivalent to the good, then you wouldn't be good until you're honored. But you wouldn't be honored until you're good. But you wouldn't be good until you're honored. But you wouldn't be honored until you're good. You can kind of see the problem, right? So for these reasons, Aristotle is saying clearly honor cannot be what happiness is. And then he sneaks this thing in here where he talks about virtue. And he says, well, maybe virtue is the proper answer to the question. But even this appears to be somewhat incomplete, for possession of virtue seems actually compatible with being asleep, or with lifelong inactivity, and further, with the greatest sufferings and misfortunes. So, virtue also is not equivalent with happiness. Why? Well, because, or with the good. Well, because, as he says, you can be virtuous while being asleep. You can be virtuous even while living a life that is full of suffering and misfortune. But surely a person living a life of suffering and misfortune isn't happy. So if you can be virtuous without being happy, well then obviously virtue and happiness are not the same thing. Okay. What about one of these other answers, like wealth? The life of money-making. Wealth. Well, this is evidently not the good we are seeking, and this is one of the most obvious. Why is wealth not the proper answer to the question of what is the good? Well, I mean, look, if you just think about it for a minute, it becomes pretty clear, right? We seek it for the sake of something else. Remember back up that discussion way back up in section 2. There are some things, some goals we have for their own sake, and some goals we have for the sake of something else. The good is clearly something, whatever it is clearly something that has to be undertaken or pursued for its own sake. Happiness is the good we're considering right now? Well, okay, happiness must be something we pursue for its own sake. Money is not something we pursue for its own sake, right? Money is something you want, not just so you can have more money, right? I mean, think about a massive pile of money in your living room. Well, that might sound good and everything, but what if there was a massive pile of money in your living room, but you could never do anything with it? You could never touch it. You could never spend it. You could never do anything with it. Well, in that case, that massive pile of money in your living room is pretty useless. It's not the money that you want, ultimately. I mean, you want the money, but it's not ultimately the money that you want. It's what the money can buy you that you want, right? In my example from a few minutes ago, you want the money so that you can get nicer car, nicer house, nicer clothes, etc. You want what the money can buy you. So obviously that can't be the good itself. Okay, so well that means well none of these candidates work. There's this general verbal agreement that the good is happiness. Different people have claimed happiness to be different things. Some say it's wealth. Well, that's obviously not right. Some say it's honor. That's not right. Some say it's virtue. That's not right. Some say it's pleasure. That's not right either. Well, damn. What could it be then? We have to try something else. And notice what happens right now in the reading in section 6. We're considering this universal good and discussing thoroughly what's meant by it. But this discussion has been made more difficult by the fact that the forms have been introduced by friends of our own. I wonder who he's talking about there. Yet, it would perhaps be thought to be better, indeed to be our duty, for the sake of maintaining the truth, even to destroy what touches us closely, especially as we are philosophers or lovers of wisdom. For while both are dear, piety requires us to honor truth above our friends. So in other words, Plato, I love you, man, but you're just wrong. And not only are you wrong, you have made my inquiry and my job that much harder because you've been spouting this nonsense garbage about the forms. And so people are talking about these forms of the good things, and these are just, that's just getting in the way of the truth. So sorry, man, we got to get rid of that stuff to try to get on the right track to understand what the good is.